Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Today is Tuesday, April 18th, 2023. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And I am your moderator today. I think I said that. Anyway, today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 75. We're in the third paragraph, beginning with returning home, we find a place, ending with to make mortar without sand, just that one paragraph today. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Karen W., text reader is Dana P., page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only is Yvonne A., and our backup reader is Kara L. Newcomer greeter today is Christina M., and the announcements will be given by Reggie O., and thank you everyone for your service. The reference numbers, yesterday, Monday, April 17th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. The number is 20,168. That's 20168. And this morning, Tuesday, April 18th, 2023, at the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,170. 20170. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Joanne L., will you please read the 12 steps?
Good morning, and thank you so very much for your service, Diane, and thank you for everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much for the service, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. And now, Karen W., will you please read us the 12 traditions?
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Diane. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. And although we value, your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and we request that you do not use the speaker function as that creates background noise. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 75, paragraph 3. Beginning with returning home, we find a place. And now I'm going to ask Dana P. So please get us started. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, Diane. I'm Dana P. I'm in California. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an ark through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Wow, so 3 minutes, that's all I've got, right? And they're talking about 3 times 20 right here. And you know, I was talking to a fellow this morning, and as I prayed about this earlier on in my 24 hours ahead this morning, I thought, you know, did I do this? I don't actually recall doing this when I went through the steps, the one and only time that I went through them in a formal way. And so, you know, I don't even recall doing it, sitting down. Of course, I didn't go home because I was already home. But my experience was somewhat different. And what I realized this morning in my prayer, and it's really been kind of building all week, is that I do this every single day. This is kind of the 11th step, that nightly review, really taking the time to make the connection, to look back over our day and say, okay, have I omitted anything? And I heard a lovely thing, and I hear it periodically from one of my teachers that asks this question, Why tell God anything if God already knows everything? And I do that because I need to get honest with myself. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. And somehow saying it out loud is quite profound. And my experience on this particular question that I've been asking in two-way prayer is this question about perfection. What is perfection? And so I finally really, really, really just went to the core of it. And the answer I got was from the core of it. And the question I asked is, what is this thing perfection? And what my God said to me, because I wouldn't say this to myself, so I know it was coming from someplace deep down from the bottom of my heart. It said, give me your imperfection, and I will show you perfection. And so I go back to that page 59, and that rings so much to the third step, where it talks about taking away my difficulties, that victory over them would bear witness to thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. And what are my difficulties? My difficulties are my imperfections that we're talking about here. And from the sentence before that, my character defects, my character defects, those are my imperfections. And when I give those to God, He transforms them in the most amazing and miraculous way. I can't even begin to tell you. And I think my 3 minutes is coming up, so I'm going to pass with that. I'm excited to hear what other people have to say. Thanks so much. Pass.
Thanks, Dana. Thank you for getting us going. Let's see. So now I'm ready to take names of people who would like to share. And again, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or Friday, please step back so that others can have a chance. Thank you. Star one to unmute.
Joanne P.
Julian P. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Julian P., who was next?
Christy M.
Christy S.
Liz A.
Liz A. I can take a couple more. I have Julian P., Christy S., Liz A.
Gordon L.
I'm sorry, somebody L. Who is that?
L.
Tom L.
And
was there somebody
L.
else? Jordan L. Great. Okay. That's a great way to start. Jillian P., Christy S., Liz A., Tom L., Jordan L. Okay, Jillian, you're up. Star one to unmute, please. Julian P. Did I get the right name?
P.
Okay, let's go. Okay, go
Joanne
ahead.
Joanne P.
Spell it, please.
Can you hear me? Yes, this is Joanne P.
Okay. What's
yes.
the lady from?
Yes, thank you so much. I'm Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. I am so grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. So grateful for this program and to be here today for this paragraph and for the opening lead. Just exactly sort of what I was thinking. When I read this and look at my book, which, by the way, is not on the shelf, I love the Be Quiet because it reminds me of my favorite Bible verse that I use every day when I meditate, which is, be still and know that I am God. So thankful to know God better. So thankful to be aware of God's presence in my life. And by working these steps, the first five and actually all 12 of them. And I love what the opening lead said about perfection, because this is a process and we're not perfect. And that's why we have our 10th step. So what have we admitted? Yeah, every day we ask ourselves that when we do our 11th step. And every day, almost every day, I'm taking a 10th step to build a stronger foundation, or to just try to keep my program solid and to try to be where, you know, where God wants me to be. I pray to God every day to take away my character defects, and doing the nightly review, and, you know, just living life on life's terms and trying to practice the principles of our program in all our daily affairs is really depending on God. You got to trust God. You have to surrender. And just surrender to God, that He will take care of everything, that He will help us if we have skimped, if we have forgotten. It'll come back to us, and we can, and we can go forward with that. But I loved what someone said about God really knows what we forgot and where we are and who we are, and just trust God that He will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So I'm so thankful for our program and our 12 steps and all of you for letting me share and for your shares, and especially thankful to my sponsor who's helped me understand this program in a profound way. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Julian. Next, we have Christy S., followed by Liz A.
Hi, this is Christy M., grateful recovering anorexic, bulimic, and overeater from Oregon. And, I really appreciate this paragraph. So one of the things I've learned about my program is I approached my relationship with my higher power similar to how I approached food, which was like very much about rules and formulaic. Like, it was a series of following rules, and it was like, did I follow them good enough, right? And to make, you know, my higher power happy, similar to how I approach food, is like, was I following my rules around food good enough? And I think coming in to the 12 steps, what I wasn't getting is when I tried to approach the 12 steps like a series of rules and like formulas, like, because really ultimately when you take the steps away, it's about this relationship with a higher power. And it wasn't until I understood the relationship piece and this walk, the spiritual walk with my higher power, that things started to change for me. And when you think about a relationship, relationships are like two ways. Like, you have to talk and you have to share and you have to be vulnerable and be honest about, you know, what's on your heart. So like, I have to be taking that time every day with my higher power to be vulnerable and to share about my day. But the other piece is like the listening piece. Like, I can't know my higher power's will for me if I'm the one always doing the talking all the time. So a lot of that needs to, like, I have to have those, to create that space to be still, to be the receiver, to be the listener. And that's hard for me, especially with the pace and busyness of life. You know, it's easy to go. And sometimes I find when I struggle with my program, that might be the first thing that I skip over, is that listening, that stillness. But like, it has such a big impact on that relationship piece. And my ability to know what my higher power's will is for me. So I, you know, I've experimented with different ways of that stillness and that quiet with my higher power. Like, sometimes it's in prayer. Sometimes it's writing, that quiet time with writing or reading. And I think it's all, you know, to everyone to find their own way of being still with their higher power and being able to have that reflective time each day. And, you know, that fourth and fifth step is kind of like this big soul and spiritual cleansing of like just clearing out all the resentment
general,
of your past.
A gentle reminder.
Sure, I'll wrap up. And it's just been very important for me to do that a little bit each day. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Christy. Next, we have Liz A., followed by Tom L.
Good morning. Star Thank one. You for your service, Diane.
We lost you, Liz.
Can I be heard?
One? Now you can. Thank you so
okay.
much.
All right. Good morning. This is Liz A. from California. Thank you, Diane, for your service. You know, when I read this in the past, I always, it confused me when it would say, we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. I was like, how do I know him better? I just sat down and wrote all this stuff about me. And it was like really confusing. And I think I always viewed my higher power as separate from me. So I would pray and there was this creator was separate from me. And then what this made me realize, and the other part in the big book where it says, the great reality was deep down within us. So when I am honest and I get to know myself better, I am shedding the obstacles, the layers that have obscured that great reality deep down within me. And that's where God resides for me. And I am getting to know him, me, better. And I love that. I just love that. And that's why, as others have shared, it's so important to daily look at ourselves and our defects of character. And I won't call them for myself imperfections. I will just call them defects of character. We will never be perfect. We are human beings. And so I really love that I was finally able to pivot and really understand what it meant to know him better. And as I shed the pounds, I shed the obstacles as well. And I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz. Next, we have Tom L., followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, everybody, for making this meeting possible. And thank you, Liz. That gives me a new way to see this myself and getting that stuff cleared out. I'm not feeling well today, so I'm grateful that you're keeping me company. There is a prayer here. And I think it's the first time we're praying in step five, because the whole chapter is about, you know, the reason to do it and who should we find to do it, and then actually pocketing our pride and gritting our teeth and opening up to somebody. But this prayer, which comes after the work, is we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. So I returned home. It wasn't my home. My sponsor required that I visit him personally in his city, which is far from me. And I returned home to my mother's place because when I'm in my addiction, I blow up my life. I'm not a functional compulsive overeater. And I returned home to my mother's home, took this book from the shelf. Thank God from the bottom of my, I guess I have a heart, that I knew him better, didn't know if I knew him better. But this is good to remember that this is a spiritual program. It's not a guru, my sponsor's amazing program. My sponsor said some things during my fifth step. I remember a few of them. God knows if they're accurate or not. But I did a lot of talking, and I hid nothing from this man that I am aware of. And I thank God for my ability to do that, because I'd gone for years in relapse without doing talking to anybody about these things. And then, of course, is my work solid so far? Why is that important that it be solid so far? Well, I was going through with a friend, Vision for You, and on 152 it says, we know our friend is like a boy whistling in the dark, trying to keep up his spirits. He fools himself. Inwardly, he would give anything to take half a dozen drinks and get away with them. He will presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. He cannot picture life without compulsive overeating. Someday he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. He will wish for the end. That's why my work needs to be solid. Because I'm that guy. Anyway, I have 21 months of abstinence now, and I'm no longer living in my mom's house. I'm back at home, and I'm very grateful for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Jordan L., you're up. Jordan, star one, please.
Hey, good morning, Diane. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning of Overeaters Anonymous. So the first time I went through the steps, I definitely did this. I set a timer. My sponsor told me to set a timer. I think this was probably the first time that I had ever sat in meditation by myself. I used to go to meditation meetings early on in recovery and sit in meditation with others during the meeting. But I think this was probably the very, very first time I did it by myself with just me and God. And I set a timer for an hour, and goddamn, that was the longest hour of my life. I had to continue to remind myself over and over again to let my thoughts go, focus on my breathing, and not get up and do something else. Meditation was something that I struggled with for sure, and still do sometimes at times. But I carefully read over those first five proposals, the first five steps, and really searched within my heart and brain. I don't think that I was in a place where I had completely relinquished my thinking, per se, but really, really searched if I had omitted anything, because I had really I'd really seen the destruction. I'd really seen the destruction, and I began to see how it was that it was, how it was that I had been the one to set the ball rolling. And I really started to get like this honest desire to set things right and live in a different way moving forward. And I was really surprised at all of that. That was pretty revolutionary for me and my attitude towards the world. And I like what was mentioned earlier, that it's this unsuspected inner resource that we tap into. That's what it's called in the spiritual appendix in the back of the book. And it, yeah, I mean, this was like pretty revolutionary stuff. And then the second time that I went through the steps in Overeaters Anonymous.
Gentle reminder.
I'll just stop there then. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jordan. Okay, for anybody who came in late or anybody who might have forgotten, we are on page 75. We're in the third paragraph, beginning with returning home, we find a place, ending with have we tried to make mortar without sand, that one paragraph only.
So if you'd like to share, please press star one to, so I can take your name and the initial of your last name in the state.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Mary G. from Arizona.
Mary G. Arizona. Thank you.
Bonnie W.
Bonnie W.
Mo H.
Mo H. Yep. So I've got Laura W., Mary G., Bonnie W., and Mo H. Anybody else? Star one to unmute, please.
Barbara E. from New Jersey.
Barbara E., New Jersey. Okay, that's great. So I've got Laura W., Mary G., Bonnie W., Mo H., and Barbara E., New Jersey. So star one to unmute Laura W. Laura, we're not hearing you. Star one to unmute, Laura. Okay, let's go down to Mary G. from Arizona, and then we'll come back and circle back to Laura.
Hi, my name is Mary G. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. I haven't been on this meeting for a long time, and I just happened to wake up early this morning, and I thought, well, I'm just going to go on the meeting. And this paragraph is actually a real game changer for me. I've been in program for 34 years. I've been 17 years I spent in chronic relapse, and I just celebrated in March 17 years without sugar. But I have broken my abstinence twice. And this last time that I did the steps, which was 14 months ago, that's when I broke my abstinence. I did the steps about a year ago. The sponsor I had have taught me a different way, you know, a way of being God-reliant rather than self-reliant, rather than food plan reliant, rather than, you know, group reliant, meeting reliant, whatever it was. And all this time that I've been in program all my life, I thought I had a relationship with my higher power where I was God reliant. But, you know, going through the book this time, I realized, and especially at this step, this was such a powerful experience for me. I took that hour, and when it says, have we skimped on the cement and the foundation, you know, have we tried to make mortar without sand, you know, I realized that my entire program had been made with cement that had cracks in it, and the cracks were the delusion that, you know, if I do this long enough, I'm going to understand how to be normal. And I thought I had let go of that delusion years ago. Obviously, it crept back in. All I can say is that today I am so aware that this disease is not only powerful, baffling, and cunning. It is very, very subtle. And it will try to do anything to get me off of the path. And it knows that, you know, being normal, a normal eater, is my favorite delusion. And yet today when I start to hear that or start to think, well, this won't matter if I have like one extra grape. I mean, what's the big deal? I say, no. This is not being God-reliant. You know, I've written my food plan. I've sent it to my accountability buddy, and I don't change it unless I tell her. And I certainly don't add things in. But, you know, it was just an amazing experience, and I hope I've actually smashed that delusion. I love the talk that was given a while back. I think it was in January, about smashing the 3 Ds. You know, denial, delusion, and defiance. And I thought, oh my gosh, those were my middle name. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I got lost in all the buttons.
Thanks, Mary. Next, we have Bonnie W., followed by Mo H. Bonnie?
Hey, it's Laura W. I'm back if you fit me in.
Okay, great. Yep, Laura, let's do it.
So sorry about that. I was pressing star one, and it was not working on my cell phone, so I hope you can hear me. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And I've been told over and over that this is the only paragraph in the entire big book that tells us to pause. Everything else is, you know, there's a sense of urgency about the steps. It talks about, we do this at once and we move quickly and swiftly. But this is the only place where it tells us to pause and stop and sit and wait. And that's very uncomfortable for me. You know, sitting and waiting for solutions, for answers, it does not come naturally for me. So over the years, it takes a lot of practice for me to pause. You know, it tells us to pause when agitated in the big book, and my knee-jerk reaction always is to react. But this tells us, to pause. You know, why do we pause? We pause so that we can thank God and ask God and connect with God, and that's the whole point. It's not abstinence. You know, abstinence is not my goal here. It's a byproduct of what the 12 steps give to me. Peace is the goal. And I can't get peace if I'm not abstinent, of course, but I can't get peace when I'm trying to run my whole show. And, you know, I find that learning to know God, I'll never know God, but trying to learn to know God from the bottom of my heart, truly and deeply, is what this is all about. And, reading the first five steps, have we omitted anything? Like, am I thorough? And I think that's why it's so important for us to talk to other people, other fellows in program, because if I was just thinking to myself, am I thorough? Did I do a good job? Yeah, I did a great job. I'm done, you know? And that's why, like, when I do a 10th step in my head, I often don't get to the bottom of things until I speak with another person. And that's what this is all about, you know, sharing, being honest, and have I omitted anything? And is my work solid so far? So far. It doesn't mean am I solid and good to go. Is it solid so far? Because there's more work ahead of me. So there's no end to this in sight, which is really a comforting thing that there's no finish line here. And I have the power and all of my fellows to guide me and hold my hand along the way. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura. So glad you were able to get back in to share with us. Okay, so now we have Bonnie W. followed by Mo H. Bonnie?
Good morning. This is Bonnie W., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Nevada. The sentence right now just struck back. I have personal experience with this sentence. It says, ask if we omitted anything, for we're building an ark through which we build, shall walk a free person at last. And I'll tell you, I so desperately wanted that spiritual experience that I kept hearing about on Vision. And when I finished my sharing, my inventory, it started sitting with me that there was this one thing, and it was about something 50 years ago, and it was about with a couple, about two men that I don't even know their names anymore. And I started thinking about how I had been so broken and how I had lured them in an effort to try to make myself into something that I just really felt I needed. Now, these men were gone. They're nameless, whatever. But that whole situation just stayed with me, and I had this deep regret. I called my sponsor. We talked, and I said, I think I have some more work to do here. And so we did, and we went through that because, again, you know, had I omitted anything, because I so much wanted to walk a free man at last and have that spiritual experience. So we went through that, and it was liberating. And it wasn't until I went through that last piece that I really felt that everything had been done and I could just wash everything away and be a free person. So this paragraph has special meaning to me. I'm just so grateful for it. Maybe I would have done it without this paragraph. I don't know. But the paragraph was there and it stayed, and it's all part of the instructions of what we do. So with that, I'll pass, and I'm just really very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie W. Next, we have Mo H., followed by Barbara E.
Hey, good morning, Diane, and good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. Oh, I'm learning a lot by listening to all these shares. Yes, I did many fifth steps before I did one the big book way through vision. Thank you, God. I did, you know, the OA way and questions, answering questions. And I don't remember after those other four steps taking this hour of quiet when I returned home. But the last time that I did, yes, I did this. And Bill is fascinating to me, the way he teaches us, and he gives us this pause, as someone said, the only time in the book that we do slow down and pause to help us go through what we've just done. And sometimes it's to appreciate how far I've come, and sometimes it's to help me remember things I may have left off my fourth step. And if I want complete recovery, if I want freedom from the obsession, I need to let everything go to someone else. And spiritual experience, having that, is a change, that there is a change in me. I have a change in my heart. I have a change in my thinking. I react differently. I listen differently. And I've noticed that, you know, that I have been able to do that over the last, since 2015, so whatever that is, 8 years or so, to be more present, not only to you, but also to myself. And, you know, recently I injured my back, doing a little bit too much lifting and moving and stuff like that. And I practiced self-care right away. I made an appointment, went to see my chiropractor, and he gave me some exercises, and it's getting better because I'm conscious of my body. And, you know, I want to walk a free person, a free man, a free woman. And this arch that we are building and that we have built is steps 1 through 5. And now we're going to walk through it and do the rest of the steps, 6 through 9. Having, you know, built our foundation and built the arch with the mortar and sand, and put the keystone in at the top. And, you know, I want to be a free person, free. And so this reminds me to just pause when I need to and ask for help. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Mo. Next, we have Barbara E. from New Jersey. Barbara?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. I love this meeting. It's intimate, and I hear so many nuggets of truth. Well, I used to hear relapse is a part of recovery and discount it because I thought it meant that everyone is going to relapse sooner or later. I learned that it's a paraphrase for relapse does happen. And why do people relapse? Well, I can only talk for myself. Is relapse avoidable? Is it inevitable? These questions are so meaningless because the only thing that matters is that relapse does happen, and debate over the legitimacy of relapse only serves to shame me. And as I don't know about you, but shame never motivated me. It just made me want to seek and hide myself from the rest of the world. And I have to say, could I have avoided relapse? I don't know, but I don't regret it. It taught me that weighing and measuring is not the only way to be abstinent. that it's not true that only abstinent people have something of value to say, and that arrogance is an immediate food trigger for me. I thought I was normal. I lost all the weight. I wasn't normal. My brain was sick. I was batshit crazy, and I'm grateful that we're not all batshit crazy at the exact same time, because I could call someone and ask them for their experience and say, I need help. Will you help me? And pause, as was said before, and pray acceptance until serenity again reemerges. And I always was getting a lot of frogs from people, little ceramic frogs. No one ever explained it to me, except finally someone said a frog means fully relying on a god or higher power or a doorknob or whatever you want it to be. Because I felt a hand on my shoulder when I was in relapse. I felt my higher presence again and the beginning of the most spiritual journey in my recovery. I learned that God's love is absolutely unconditional, no matter what I've done, where I'm at, or even what I'm putting in my mouth. My higher power's right there, letting me know that I'm accepted, and I must accept myself and others in the same way. My higher power is always in the present moment. Since I couldn't accept that I was in
the reminder.
Thank you. I wasn't living in the present and couldn't find my higher power. Thank God he's with me. She is with me today. Thank you, I pass.
Thanks, Barbara. We have time for like one really quick share. Does somebody want to jump in and share for like a minute to a minute and a half? Okay. Nobody. All right. Wow, what a great meeting. Thank you so much. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Yvonne A. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, Yvonne. Okay, we will now